Does Auburn have the best 1-2 punch at point guard in the country? Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops podcast. It's Kyle Rush and Zepp Jasper, and we're ready to rock and roll. My man, Zepp, this is dedication. If you're not watching this on audio right now, on video right now, you're missing out. My man has pulled over in the snow to jam this podcast out and talk about this Auburn Hoops team. Zepp, I'm glad you're safe, man. It looks a little sketchy out there.
Hey, it's a little sketchy out here, but we're going to call it the Boring Hoops and Snow, because I know it's a little snow in Auburn, too. So I'm surprised I ain't outside doing my recording, trying to act like a newsman. But, hey, I'm ready to get this show started.
I love it. Yeah, it was a cold one today in Auburn, and it looks like it's a cold one in Augusta as well. I'm still in my Under Armour. I'm still trying to stay my cold gear, still trying to stay warm. It was fun, though. Kids got to play in the snow. It was all great, but now it's time to talk about this. The opposite of cold, the red hot Auburn Tigers. And Zepp, the past couple of games, Denver Jones, obviously the starting point guard, Denver Jones has been, the best way to say it is he's just not quite had his, from a point perspective, the output that he typically has. You could call it a slump. I don't really want to call it a slump because he's still playing incredible defense. And I've seen, you know, I've seen some things on Twitter, on message board, things like that. Like, hey, maybe it's time to switch to Tahad Pettiford. Maybe it's time to roll with him full time. And I think we got to understand that you have two guys right now that are the most complementary of each other that you could possibly be, and maybe have two of the most perfect, a perfect tandem of two point guards possibly in the whole country. I just want to talk about the importance of Denver's defense and like how huge that is to this run that Auburn's been on. Talk about that and talk about how they balance each other out and what you see.
Denver, a lot of people have been expecting him to just go off since you're not being hurt. But Denver's been handling it super well. The two-headed monster, that's what I call it, because they're two different styles. Denver is one of those guys. He's a ball protector. He make great plays. He's not a scorer like Tahad, but he plays better defense. He don't make mistakes. Tahad makes a lot of mistakes. Tahad's one who come in the game super hot, get the team going, bring a different type of energy. But Denver is one of those guys, whether he's not scoring or not, he's always going to have defense. He's always going to lead the team and however he can lead the team. He's just one of those guys that you want him on your team. Yeah. He's a guy that, you know, he didn't score much last game, but we needed him. You know, down the stretch, BP put him in the game. Like, even though Tahad Pettiford was hot, but yes, BP knew that his senior point guard would take care of the ball, and he's been in these situations before. He knows the game, and you know, the two-headed monster, you got to deal with it. Like, I seen a lot of people on Twitter also saying, we got to move the needle. We've been winning what we win with. We number one in the country. What else can we do?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think we need to move anything. We're going to keep winning, keep flowing, keep being a team, and we're going to be the best team in the country with our two-headed monster guards.
Yeah, I love how they complement each other. Just to in case you forgot, about Denver, Let me tell you about the last eight. We played 18 games, okay? And I'm going to give a shout out to Justin Ferguson for the stat. He's the stat guy, and he always finds the perfect stat that fights the narrative, and I love that about him and the stuff that he does. But let's 18 games, okay? 13 out of the 18, he's held the primary scorer 13 out of 18 times below their points per game average. 16 out of the 18 games, he's kept them underneath their average field goal percentage. 15 out of 18 under their average three-point percentage. And I can go so on and so forth. Basically, when you go up against Denver Jones, you are going to have a subpar game, period. Like there is a high percentage chance that you are not going to get what you normally get. You're not going to be able to get yours against Denver Jones. Zep, at the end of that game against Georgia, when it got into the foul scenario, what happened every time? Every time after Auburn would shoot free throws, what would the substitution package be? When we were going on defense, what happened every single time?
Every single time, BP would put his senior guard in the game,
yes,
and sub him out for Tahai Pitifer. Because he knows that Denver Jones is not going to foul the jump shooter. He's going to play defense at the end of a game. He's smart. He's savvy. He knows the exact thing to do on defense at the end of a game. Well, Tahai Pitifer, he's been struggling on defense, which, you know, he's coming around on defense. But at the end of games, you're going to always lean on those older guys to make big-time plays on the defensive end.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then, obviously, on offense, Tahai was hot. So whenever they would switch on offense, you'd put him out there. You'd put Tahai in there for offense. I just think they complement each other so well. And they're it's really good to you're able to smother a team. You're able to smother a team early and get out to a lead. And then you can put Tahai in and just put the pedal to the metal and extend that lead. I love the complement that they are to each other. And I hope that everybody sees that. I hope that everybody understands how incredibly important that is, how incredibly important that the defensive side of it is. You can score as much as you want to, but at the end of the day, defense travels. So when you're going on these SEC road games, you got to be able to play defense or you're going to get run out of the gym 100%. So anything else to say there, or anything else on your mind as far as Denver and Tahai goes?
We're going to keep it rolling. We're going to keep being hot. Tennessee is our next opponent. Denver Jones is going to be a lockdown defender on Zakai Ziegler. And I don't want to hear the fans say anything about Denver Jones. I was a former player. When I see those type of things on Twitter, I don't like it. Yeah. Give our guys confidence. We finna go into one of the best teams in college basketball, which is Tennessee. And, you know, Denver Jones need that confidence to let him know he's one of the best defenders in college basketball.
And let's not forget, he went on like a 5 or 6 game run where he was shooting like 70% from three. So, like, he's still shooting 42% from three overall. He's the hottest free throw shooter on the team. He shoots like close to 90% from the line. So, defense and free throws late in games. I know he missed one against Georgia. That was pretty – I mean, that's an anomaly. That's not really a thing. He went 6 for 6 against Mississippi State. So, Auburn's got two incredibly elite complementary point guards, and I think that's something that you got to be excited about. That's something that can take you in deep in tournaments. That's something that can help you win games, close out games, and all that good stuff. Point guard play is huge, and Auburn has two of the best. So I think we're going to – from there, so Auburn obviously knocks off Georgia, survives a late push, a couple of turnovers late, got real sloppy, but things like that happen on the road. Regardless, they came out with a dub, and that's all that matters. Then you have a bye week, which is relatively – I feel like is relatively new. I don't really remember that very often where you have, you know, like full weeks off once conference play starts, but it feels like it came at a really good time. You had, obviously, Janai's injury. You had Dylan get banged up. Zep, talk about bye weeks and what you guys typically are trying to achieve. What is a good way to win the bye week? What are you trying to do to go and win the bye week and get better?
Well, the good way to win the bye week is to, you know, get your team together, watch film, be with your brothers, 5 out of 7 days of the week, and just have a bun, a team meeting, go bowling or something, you know, go get shots in the morning, and just stay up to par. You know, when people have these bye weeks and they're winning, they forget on greatness. And, you know, one thing about BP, he don't forget greatness. We're in that gym, we're getting shots up, we're with our coaches, working on things we need to work on, and basically, we're getting ready for Tennessee. I know it's a bye week, but at the end of the day, Tennessee just lost. They looking forward to trying to come in and and they're a tough team. They play hard nosed defense. They're hoping Jannah don't play, but I feel like this bye week is gonna help us because guys are banged up, they're tired. They've been using a lot of energy, and I just think it helps a lot.
Yeah, for sure. How much do you feel like you? What is the practice workload versus rest workload? That's not really a workload, but practice workload versus rest. Is it just business as usual, or do you do things a little bit different that week? Like how does the bye week flow really work?
Well, you do things a lot different. Guys like, to be honest, guys like, ooh, dang, we ain't got a hard practice today. They're like, whew, at least we can get some shots up.
Yeah.
We can watch some film. You wake up, get some breakfast, watch some film, get some shots up, then wait a couple hours, and then boom, do a little walkthrough practice. Basically just keep working on your game each and every day. And then once it get closer and closer to game time, 3-4 days, and then you get right back to the practice.
Gotcha. So it's a good, it seems like it's a really good time to mentally rest, physically rest, and just sort of recharge. And I don't know if there's really a benefit to having it, or it feels like Auburn's has the early one this year, the early bye week. So I don't really know if there's a benefit to having it early or late. I do know that we've played a lot of games. You've played over half of your games already. So this is, well beyond the midpoint of the season. So it's not, it's not terrible to go ahead and get a break right now to get you stronger and rested up for the closing stretch. It's dragging on. We're ready to play basketball, and we got a big one on Saturday, and we're going to talk about that one later in the week as we preview that game. But Auburn sits right now at the top alone. They're only undefeated team left, unanimous number one in the AP poll. I don't know if you saw that. Came out completely unanimous, first time in Auburn history. All the votes, Auburn's number one. So that's obviously great. Right now, Auburn's the chased in every sense of the word. In the country, in conference, Auburn is the chased. They're the ones that everybody's coming after. Auburn's been on both sides of that. There's been times, and you've been on both sides of it, where you have played on a team that I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys got to number one as well. And then you've played on teams where you're chasing number one. So talk about the mindset difference. Is there really a difference, or which one would you rather be? Would you rather be the chased, or would you rather be the chaser?
With being on both teams, being alone at the top is kind of hard because yeah. It's like every game you go into, like you go to Vanderbilt, right?
Yeah.
They can pack their arena out, knowing their games aren't packed out every single game. It's like, I don't care what anybody say. Being at the top and having Auburn number one, I know college coaches, guys, fans, probably little kids. I know they like, I hate Auburn. Yeah. I want them to lose so bad. Yeah. Like, they talk too much trash. The way they play, they're aggressive. People don't like that. The way Auburn play is tough. It's a different type of style. When you watch Auburn, you like, man, I want them to lose. But I think it's perfect for the team we have this year with the guys we have, like the Chad Baker Mazzara, Jannah Brooms. They have that swag, that pop about themselves, like, okay, we're number one and we're gonna stay number one. So, I'm with the being on top. And
yeah,
the way they do it is they do their talk on the court, not on social media.
Like it. So if you had to pick, obviously you'd rather be the chased. You'd rather be on top and say, y'all come and get some, basically. That's what you're saying.
Y'all come and get some. I say y'all come and get some. We hot right now. We like a bottle of hot sauce, Tabasco.
I love it. You just mentioned it just a second ago. How terrible is Vanderbilt's arena? Is it? I don't even like watching a game there. It looks awful. It looks awkward. How bad is it in real life?
It's terrible. It's like an auditorium. I think
Vanderbilt, it's like a Shakespeare festival.
Vanderbilt needs a new arena.
Yeah.
It's like it's no way that they shouldn't have a new arena, but hey, they just beat Tennessee.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
It's just, I don't know if it's the court being raised. I don't know if it's like the benches being under the goal. I don't know if it's the shot clock being off to the side. Like, and then you got, it's weirdly shaped. It looks like it's seriously, you mentioned it looks like an auditorium. It looks like you're about to go watch like a Shakespeare play for some reason. And then they just put a basketball arena. I know that's a complete sidebar, but I always felt like there's voodoo all in that place. And I just don't like that gym in general, but I'm glad someone else
I hate it.
agrees with me. So Auburn's again, unanimous number one, silencing all the haters. We talked about it Sunday, Zeph. I want to get your thoughts on this. One of the shows that comes on it's called the Field of 68. It's Jeff Goodman and a couple other guys, and they talk about obviously college basketball after almost every game. And one thing that they said that really rubbed me the wrong way. I want to get your take on this. Every time Auburn does something, it's a surprise. Auburn's 17, 18-1 right now, whatever. I think they're 17-1, unanimous number one. Auburn's it's a surprise. I'm surprised where Auburn is right now. And in the conversation, it's a comparison, obviously, to like Alabama and Duke. We're surprised where Auburn is right now. And my question is, at what point does the winning not become surprising anymore? You know, hey, you beat Houston. Hey, I give you that. That's a surprise. If that surprised you, Auburn beating Houston, I'll give you that. But at what point does it stop being a surprise?
I don't know which guy said it, but I'm a very honest guy. Every
Yeah.
time I get on a podcast, I get on something. I hope it wasn't Jeff Goodman.
It was Jeff
Hope it
Goodman.
wasn't, because when we was number one in the country, I kid you not, no lie, with Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler, he didn't like Auburn. It was a
He's never lost.
surprise.
He
He
never lost.
don't like Auburn, but
Yeah.
he said he loved Bruce Pearl. Bruce
Yeah.
Pearl's one of the best college coaches who ever coached a college basketball game. Ever. And
Yep.
it's a surprise that we're number one. It's a
Yeah.
surprise that we're winning basketball games. Auburn have been a tradition for the past 5 to 7 years. And you're telling me it's a surprise?
Yeah.
Hey, what do we have to do? Do we have to start paying these guys to say Auburn is one of the best? I don't think they like seeing Auburn at the top. People like that, they don't.
Yeah, but what I don't understand is like it's not like Alabama has the tradition, that much tradition either, but they love Alabama. It's weird. But regardless, I'm tired of the surprises. Like it's time, like start giving us show us a little bit more love and quit acting like it's a complete fluke that we are where we are right now. I mean, my God, we have one of the best 3-point shooting teams in the country. We have one of the best defensive teams in the country. And we're playing some of the best competition in the country, and we're beating their eyes out. Okay, we're 10-1. We have the SEC record for most quad one wins ever. Like at some point in time, is it the next win that's not surprising? Is it two or three more wins to where it's not a surprise anymore, where you're kind of expecting Auburn to win? I mean, my God, I think Auburn's, if you look at the KenPom projections, I think they're projected to win every single game now for the rest of the season, except maybe at Alabama. So, like, at some point in time, it's got to stop being a surprise. At some point in time, it's like, you know what? They're good. They're good. They should have beat them. I expected them to beat them. Not, I'm just so shocked. They're so untalented, and they're just overachieving. I mean, that's the way it comes off to me whenever I hear stuff like that.
That's the way it comes off to me. But the
Yeah.
Field 68, y'all gotta show us some love.
Yeah.
Come on, like y'all got to, because we're the best team in the country. They
Yeah.
can't knock us.
Can't knock us.
They
Can't
can't say
knock us.
nothing now. They
For
can't say
sure.
nothing now.
We ain't stopping anytime soon. And we're gonna go. We got a big game this weekend. We're gonna win. We're gonna talk about that later this week. Zep, I appreciate you, man. Stay safe in the snowpocalypse right now. It's crazy everywhere at this part of the country. What's funny is a little bit further south than us has even more snow, which is crazy. That I don't even know how that works. My mind that doesn't register in my mind how there's snow at the beach right now. But we're going to get through it, and we're looking forward to this weekend. So, Zep, tell them how they can find you. Tell them how they can support you and show you some love.
Twitter at RIP_QUAN5. Instagram at RIP_QUAN12.
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at @_Charlie_5. We're going to be back again soon. It's another episode of the Barn Hoops Podcast.